symphony of debauchery. Two strangers must work in tandem, and the task ahead of them is vast and treacherous. Can they face the challenge? Will they survive? Michael Connor and Josh Beard. It's Connor and Beard.
Let's go! It's Friday, people! Your weekend is here, and you're starting it with Connor and Beard on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hi, Houston! How are you today? Hi, Josh Beard. Andrew Carlson. Are you guys as wonderful as I am today? Because guess what? We are 2 hours and 59 minutes from the weekend.
I am excited about the weekend. You're being awfully loud today and woke me up. I was taking a little tiny
I can
nap.
Be louder, Josh!
Oh, my God. That is so piercing. Also,
it's this coffee. You really got me all bricked up to start the show.
I know.
I've got like 9 of them left over for the week, Andrew. Sorry. I got to get after them.
That's your third coffee today, and I need
it's
you
actually
to slow,
my first.
I need you to slow. I don't believe that.
It really is.
I need you to slow down after that.
I woke up this morning for my workout. Did not have any of my pre-workout drink. Didn't have it. It was like I forgot that I was out. I've had no caffeine today except for this.
The days where you wake up and you're alert and you're energetic without the caffeine are always good days. I like the energy today. You got to keep the energy up because I am, you know, Spencer always says we're just slogging through life. I'm slogging through life today. I'm excited. I'm happy, but I'm slogging through life today. So I need you to pick me up. Spend the next 3 hours.
As of now. We'll see what happens in the next 3 hours.
Also, you asked Andrew and I if we were as wonderful as you.
Are you as wonderful as me?
I think so. I like to think so, but I think that's up to you to decide if we're as wonderful as you.
Usually, I mean, you both tried to bring that negative ass energy today. Call me overly optimistic before the show about things.
He called you overly optimistic, so he called you overly optimistic, Michael. So
I said I'm realistic, Michael, which means I'm Ram.
And I wished your name had started with an F, like Frank or Francis or something, so you could be overly optimistic, whatever, Frank, and you'd be oof. So that we technically did bring a little bit of negativity your way, but it was like fun, jabby, we're friends negativity.
Ram is here.
Ram. Realistic, energetic, excitable, realistic ass Michael is here today.
And if you would like to be a part of this realistic ass, excitable ass, everything ass show today, 713-780.
Excitable ass Michael, Ian.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. You can head over to YouTube, search ESPN Houston. That is where you stream the show. That's where you see this beautiful face. I mean, there is no face more beautiful in Houston radio than this one. I can't say the same about Josh. Andrew is the Ken doll of this. No, I'm sorry, Josh. We are the most beautiful show here at ESPN.
No. I know for a fact I am the least attractive of the three of us. I'm okay with that. That is an objective. That's not subjective. That is an objective piece of information. I'm okay with that. I did, however, when I watched the Barbie movie last weekend, I could not separate Ryan Gosling as Ken from Andrew Carlson. I think it's because of his Halloween costume, but like they are forever tied together in my mind.
Yeah, that's always going to be there for Andrew. And today we've got a lot to get into. We've got plenty of Astros coming up. Some of the things that were said yesterday after the team luncheon from Joe Espada. Some things that are going to get somebody on this show rather bothered, but not me. I'm going to be all about it. But right now, guys, let's start it off with what a night for the city of Houston last night. Now, look, it wasn't a perfect night. We'll get deeper into the non-perfect portion of last night where D'Amico Ryans got robbed. But let's talk about the positive. And let's start off with C.J. Stroud, who won the Rookie of the Year last night, the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And here is C.J. Stroud after being named the Rookie of the Year with his acceptance speech.
First and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hail God.
I want to thank the Texans organization, all the way to McNair's, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans. Y'all entrusted in me by drafting me number two, and I appreciate that, and never go misunderstood. I appreciate y'all. Secondly, I want to thank my family, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. Y'all have been my rock since I've been a kid, and I love y'all so much. I want to thank Ohio State, Coach Day, Todd Fitch, and a ton of just Buckeyes out here that have gave me nothing but support and show a young kid some love all the way 2,000 miles away from home. And I want to thank back home, Southern California, all the way from the IE to LA. I'm a true Cali kid, and everything that y'all taught me took a village to raise me, and I appreciate that. This honor means a lot. And to whatever kid that's out here watching, you can do anything you put your mind to, man. I'm a living testimony to perseverance and just trusting your goals and your dreams. And I just thank God for this. Thank y'all.
I mean, look, we've already discussed this during the season. He's God's quarterback. They're God's team. And God last night was shining down again on the Texans. Offensive rookie of the year for CJ. Defensive rookie of the year for Will Anderson. And Andre Johnson gets into the Hall of Fame. Was it the best night in the history of the Texans, guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's at least I can't remember a specific moment where the Texans have kind of not necessarily fully dominated, but dominated at least to some extent an award ceremony like that, especially from the rookie perspective. There was a point this season where it looked like Jalen Carter was the clear-cut favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then Will Anderson just did Will Anderson things, stayed on track, kept doing what he was doing, and the results started to show up on the field. And so I think that this is one of the best moments in Texans history to see these kinds of accolades. Should have been a little bit better.
Yeah, you know.
Whatever. But yeah, this is like the evidence to show everybody else outside the city of Houston and even those people in Houston that are still concerned with this team. The evidence is continuing to show why we're so glowing and why we're so hyped and so excited about the future of this team, because you had a guy who just took over the league and won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he's already being projected by executives through the NFL and other people like nationally to be a top five, top six type quarterback moving forward into the future. Will Anderson's expected to be one of the better pass rushers, if not one of the best pass rushers in the league. And DeMeco Ryans is widely regarded as already one of the best head coaches in the NFL. And that's all of this is why we're so high on what they're going to do moving forward.
Yeah, DeMeco was completely robbed. We'll get further into that again in the next segment of the show last night, because every single one of those voters should be, honestly, publicly shamed today. I think it should be put on a street somewhere, butt naked, and you have to drive by them and honk your horn.
Yeah.
But that's for next segment. Just the C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson part, phenomenal. And then on top of it, Andre, finally. I let my pessimism come in yesterday. I did not think that Andre Johnson was going to get into the Hall of Fame last night. Now, he's known for a little while. That's the funny thing is that these guys have known for a minute. I did love last night a few of the Houston reporters, I think accidentally, got the news out a little bit before than they were supposed to, before the award ceremony came out, and they quickly changed their tune. All the tweets changed from is in the Hall of Fame, expected to make the Hall of Fame, and it's like, okay, like, good job. I'm sure that
apparently they got the NFL,
a tongue lashing for that one.
The NFL may have accidentally tipped their hand themselves as well on their website. Somebody sent screenshots where it showed Andre Johnson is already a Hall of Famer on their own website.
That could definitely show it off.
He absolutely deserves it. I don't blame you though, especially with the way some Hall of Fame stuff goes. I don't blame you for being pessimistic ass Michael for a little bit, being Pam. You're just Pamming it up for a little bit. I don't blame you at all, because would we have been surprised because of how they consider benchmarks for positions? Would we have been surprised if he didn't make it in? I think I would have been a little bit, but not fully. Like, I figured he would. I thought he would.
I figured he would at some point. I just
didn't think
he'd
do it now.
This is year three. Yeah. And I was like, okay, maybe they make him wait one more year or something. But I'm glad I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because he did.
But you didn't guarantee it. That's the important thing.
I should have guaranteed that he was going to make it.
You put it on the books. I didn't guarantee it.
That he was going to make it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That he wasn't going to make it. Yeah. I would never guarantee that, because I didn't want to be wrong. Who wants to be wrong, Josh?
Nobody wants to be wrong.
I mean, I might be wrong, you know, for the fact that all season long I called the Chiefs frauds, and throughout the show today we're going to talk about them possibly winning the Super Bowl this weekend.
I hate it. I'm so annoyed with them.
Well, then think about something positive before we get into the Super Bowl again.
I can't.
That Andre is going to be putting on that gold jacket in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Coming up soon. Somebody tweeted it last night. I think maybe I saw a couple people tweet it that, hey, Texans, Bears in the Pro Bowl game. Make it happen, NFL, because both teams have players going into
Hall of Fame game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't care about the Hall of Fame game. I don't
either, but it'd still be kind of fun.
It'd be the Case Keenum show.
Yeah.
But, you know, or the TJ, or not
the
TJ.
Davis,
Yates.
Yeah, the TJ Yates show. TJ Yates going back into the game.
I think Davis Mills, when I think Davis Mills, I think TJ Yates every time.
Long neck TJ Yates.
Literally.
It's like if somebody stretched his, if he were a Stretch Armstrong and somebody accidentally stretched his neck too far.
But you know what? I'm looking forward to, Andre's never been a man of many words, obviously, publicly. But I'm looking forward to his speech. I'm looking forward to hear him go up there, and it's nice to finally have representation in a Hall of Fame that I didn't realize he's only like the was it 320 something Hall of Famer, 350th Hall of Famer, something like that.
There's not a lot
of there's not a lot of Hall of Famers. NFL's Hall of Fame does not let Pro Football Hall of Fame does not let a lot of guys in.
No, no, they're really picky and choosy about where you have to be statistically to get in. I couldn't fully enjoy the this is why I'm annoyed with the Chiefs and why I couldn't fully enjoy the awards ceremony last night, because we got home from track like right before it started, or right as it was starting. And I couldn't, because every time when CJ won, when we found out about Andre, when CJ won, and then when Will Anderson won, every single time, my son sitting there in his Mahomes Chiefs shirt, every single time he's like, are they in the Super Bowl though? And I wanted to just burn his shirt. I wanted to take it off of him. I wanted to burn it in front of him. And I just couldn't stand it. But I'm now getting to enjoy it the day afterwards. I'm really, really excited about where these guys are going to take us. And I'm happy for Andre.
Yeah, Dre's Hall of Famer number 375.
That's wild.
Group. Now, they continued it on. It's up to, what, 78 or 79 total now, which is crazy. Absolutely crazy. So you quit letting your kids negatively affect
them. I know. Yeah, that's easier said than done, man. Easier said than done.
Well, it was a good night for the city of Houston, except for one thing that happened, and that, of course, was D'Amico Ryans being robbed by the voters. We'll get into D'Amico being robbed, and should he have been, and is this the biggest snub of the year in sports? That's next here on Connor and Beard, ESPN 97.5,
92.5. ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with two dudes just slogging through life with no direction or motivation. Just like you, it's Connor and Beard.
And the AP Coach of the Year presented by Verizon is Stephen Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski, sorry. Yeah, got that one. It's like the Oscars or something. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, Stephen or Kevin couldn't be here tonight, so we're happy to accept this award on his behalf.
Now, I know that voice, but who is that? I mean, it's a celebrity.
Sounded like John Krasinski, but no.
It's a celebrity.
Yeah.
Well, he screwed it up. Who yelled D'Amico Ryans in the background? That's the real question. It should have been D'Amico Ryans. Connor and Beard, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. That was Stephen Stefanski, or Kevin.
Stephen Stefanski. That's his name forever and always. Yeah.
Hey, Steve, he was awarded the Coach of the Year last night, and it was incredibly close. Both D'Amico Ryans and Kevin Stefanski in the voting system of points got 165 votes, or points, excuse me. But Stefanski took it because he had one more first-place vote than D'Amico Ryans. Honestly, was this a complete screw-up, or should it have been this close?
I think it deserved to be close. I don't think that this was a complete screw-up, but I do think D'Amico got robbed. He should have won it.
Everybody that was tweeting last night, by the way, about, well, we killed them in the playoffs, that being the Texans. I got a bunch of those responses.
Playoffs don't matter.
Yeah, they didn't matter. The voting is due when the regular season ends. It has nothing to do with the playoffs.
Stephen Stefanski had he had a great resume for Coach of the Year. He did. He took a team. Their preseason win total over under was 10.5, and he kept them on track. They won 11 games. And he did it when Deshaun Watson didn't look great. He started getting banged up. Then he's hurt. And then he had to kind of bounce around between quarterbacks before relying on Joe Flacco.
Shouldn't he be getting that much credit for all that?
That's the thing. If he gets credit for keeping the ship upright with Joe Flacco and some of these other quarterbacks, shouldn't D'Amico get credit for winning 10 games with a rookie quarterback, too?
I feel like, I mean, to me, it's about, now look, both teams only being a win apart, it's a wash there.
A win apart and a like, head-to-head, too.
Yeah. I mean, the head-to-head, I guess, whatever. I go back and look at the award. We've talked about this in the past, like the history of it, and typically it's the coaches that have the best records every year that win it, for the most part. Now, it started to trend in the other direction a lot, like baseball does, where it's never the most obvious candidate. It's the, well, we had no expectation for this team or that team, or this expectation changed, or whatever it might be. The goalposts have started to really move on the criteria, I think, of how it's voted. I don't think that there was a choice. And that's not just the Houstonian in me. D'Amico Ryans inherited a football team that had won, like, what, six games in the last few years?
Yeah.
Seven games or whatever?
They were a lot of people projected them to have the number two pick in the draft and only win, like, maybe three or four games.
Nobody expected C.J. Stroud to go light the world on fire at all.
Nobody expected the defense to play as well as it did for the most part.
And they won their division. They won their division a year after they were a hot mess the year before and a hot mess the year before that with all the outside noise, all the crap that's going on here. And he came in and changed everything. And then I just think you look at it and as a whole, wouldn't you say you do a better, you did a better coaching job with the inferior level of talent that he had compared to what? Because the roster that Cleveland has built is a Super Bowl quality roster.
Yes,
it's just lacking the quarterback. Even with Deshaun Watson, it's lacking the quarterback.
Yes,
but like I feel like D'Amico Ryans overcame way more than. Steven, Kevin, whatever the hell his name is,
Stefanski. It's Kevin Stefanski.
It's Kevin. Now I'm gonna question it every single time.
Like that. That's the question. Like, should the overall talent disparity between the two teams mean anything? And I think absolutely unequivocally, yes, it should. It absolutely should. You're talking about a team like you said, Myles Garrett. What, last night won Defensive Player of the Year. That team, that defense was supposed to be one of the best defenses in the league. They have far more talent. At every level, every level of the defense than the Texans do.
Yeah.
Guess who had the better defense, at least whenever it comes to just pure points allowed? The Texans. They had a better defense than the Browns. And the talent that they had to work with was not even close to what the Browns have. They still have so many holes, but it's D'Amico's ability to coach, prepare guys, and call a game that led to them playing as well as they did. Like, if I'm looking at these two situations and I'm saying, okay, coach of the year should go to the guy who did the best job coaching. What all did Kevin Stefanski have to do to keep this afloat other than just get a quarterback that could keep it afloat while all of the other talent could continue to flourish? D'Amico Ryans had to change the culture and get all of these guys to buy into what he was doing to get them to play above the level that they're at. Stefanski, for the most part, got these guys to play at the level that they were expected to play at. D'Amico Ryans got his players and his team to play far above the level they were expected to play at, and I think that should matter. That's why I think he got right.
I just don't know why he became such a popular thing. I know a lot of it's a popularity contest. How did Kevin Stefanski become more popular than D'Amico Ryans in this?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, D'Amico's humble enough, and it's not going to... Like, I mean, I'm sure there's some level of disappointment when you're up for the award, but you know what? Strive for more, D'Amico.
Yeah.
Next year, go out, win 13 games. Go ahead and be the bet, you know, the second or first seed in the AFC, and guess what they'll probably give you? Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I wish you had seen it. We've never seen it here in Houston. You've never seen a coach be Coach of the Year in the NFL. And I do have I genuinely think the voting got it wrong. Being somewhat tight is worthy of it. I do believe that, to where it wasn't a runaway.
Yeah.
But it goes back to, and it's like that with every single thing that the Texans got awarded for this year. And Executive of the Year was not Nick Caserio as well, correct? Did they name that last night?
I don't know if
they didn't name it last night, but no, Nick Caserio did not win Executive of the Year. I'm not sure. I would have to look that up. Really.
And then, of course, Bobby Slowick didn't win Assistant of the Year.
No, he didn't.
Damn. But you know what? Maybe if you want to keep Bobby for another year, that keeps him down. Right? It's another knock on Bobby. Keep Stay, Bobby, stay.
Brad Holmes won Executive of the Year.
Of the Lions?
Yeah, Brad Holmes from the Lions.
What did he do?
Well, I mean, he led a team that is at the first playoffs in 32
years. Did he go make a bunch of changes?
I think
did he have one of the best drafts in the league last year?
He has spent the last three...
It's been a build-up, I know.
He's been with them for 3 years. He spent the last 3 years getting them to the point to where they make the playoffs for the first time and get to the NFC Championship game. I think that's fine.
They're just over here profiling against people that wear vests all the time.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Was Nick there last night? I didn't even see.
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't watch. Aaron, did you watch it, the awards?
I did not see Nick there, but there was a Texans contingent there, so it wouldn't shock me if he was there, and maybe he just wasn't there when the camera panned over.
Yeah, when they showed. Yeah.
They were well-dressed. Will with his white suit.
Yeah.
And then I like C.J. Stroud's Men in Black look.
Yeah.
And then D'Amico is very grown man in his suit.
Oh, man. 8170 on the text line says, Lance screwed it up. He voted for Stefanski.
I'm telling you. I said that. You remember I said this a few weeks ago when he was doing this, and he's sitting here on the air telling us that at NFL.com he picked Kevin Stefanski. I wanted to come in here, and I honestly wanted to take something and throw it at him. If he's here today, which I haven't even seen if he's still here, you know, he'd probably breaking down some sort of film or something. I might go in there and slap him in the face during commercial break because he pushed the narrative.
He did. This is his fault. That we can put this 100% on Lance. And I feel like John and Dell would get behind that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We need to start the Blame Lance campaign.
Blame Lance. Hashtag Blame Lance on social
Lance
media.
Lance Rob D'Amico.
Yeah. Hashtag Blame Lance. It's the way to go.
Yeah, hashtag what Blame
else,
Lance.
What That's else do you want to blame Lance Zierlein for? Send us your tweets or your text message with the hashtag Blame Lance.
Yeah. What did Lance rob you of specifically? Yeah. There's probably something that you wanted. You didn't get it. It's Lance's fault. So hashtag Blame Lance.
I once missed out on a lot of money on a podcast that I recorded for Lance Zierlein's people at NFL.com because they never paid me. But you know what? It's Lance's fault.
That's
hashtag
Lance's
blame Lance.
Fault. He's the one. He made the connect.
Yeah.
It's absolutely his fault.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed. It's even more disappointing because it could have just been pretty a clean sweep. Like, you could have gotten CJ, Will, D'Amico, Andre Johnson, all again. Andrew talked about it yesterday. That's why he felt pretty confident that D'Amico was going to win, that Andre was going to get in the Hall of Fame. Just Texans clean sweep, and it was nice to see the other three things happen. I just feel like the fact that it was so close and it came down to one singular first place vote, and the person that I will forever and always blame for this is that one person that I saw who wrote Kevin Stefanski's name number one, and that was David Carr. I blame David Carr.
You think David Carr chat GPT is
Yeah, he did. He put it into the AI, and the AI...
They gave it Kevin Stefanski instead of D'Amico Ryan?
The AI only calculates pure numbers. It doesn't calculate heart, grit, and culture change.
Way to go, ChatGPT. Nice job. You should be using the Google AI Assistant, or whatever the hell it's called, Gemini, instead of ChatGPT. We're out on ChatGPT now just because of that. We're anti-ChatGPT.
We are. We're anti-future, anti-computer, and anti-ChatGPT, and we're anti-Lance.
Yeah.
4490 on the text line says, my tooth cracked, and now I'm having horrible pain. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah, way to go, Lance.
Way to go, Lance.
Yesterday, Josh pooped his pants all day. Hashtag blame Lance.
Yeah, thanks, Lance. Hashtag blame Lance. We gotta tag him in something to let him know that something's happening, but not what.
Yeah, I'm going to figure out the tweet that we're going to send during the commercial break. Maybe we can finally goad him into walking down the hallway if he's here.
Yeah, I think so.
It's hashtag blame Lance Day. It's Lance's fault that D'Amico Ryans did not win the Coach of the Year last night at the NFL Honors Award show there in Vegas. Hey, who's going to be the Astros center fielder every day this season? We have some takes from some people on it. We'll discuss it when we return here on Connor and Beer. But right now, I want to tell you about the 48th annual Houston Fishing Show. And it's coming to George R. Brown Convention Center from February 14th to Sunday the 18th. It's everything for the fishermen. All the new rods, reels, and lures. There will also be continuous clinics by expert fishermen covering salt and freshwater fishing. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 48th annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishing.com right now. Caller number 3 to 713-780-3776 will win a pair of tickets to the 48th annual Houston Fishing Show.
I don't know.
Well, right now it's the Blame Lance is what you smell. Hashtag Blame Lance, I think, is the theme of the day. This is what happens when the show gets going this way, because we were trying to figure out what the hell happened for D'Amico Ryans not winning Coach of the Year.
There's only one explanation.
It was Lance Zierlein who went on NFL.com and picked Kevin Stefanski. So if you'd like to send in things that you'd like to blame Lance for in your life, 713-780-3776 is the phone number to send those in. We'll give you some of them throughout the day today. We got a couple in during the commercial break. 0724 says, I just got fired for slapping my coworker on the ass in the office. Damn you, Lance. Sorry about that. I know. That's tough. We also got one from 3977 that says, I lost my girlfriend, she took my dog, and the rest of my six-pack of beer, so I blame Lance.
Come on. You know what? I bet that beer was Coors Light, too. He either got it from Granato or got the idea from Granato, and Lance is the reason that six pack is gone.
Yeah, we got one, a couple in on Twitter as well. We got one that said, "I was late for work this morning and traffic was bad." That's from Matt. Hashtag blame Lance. You can tweet those in
freaking
as well.
Lance, man.
Hashtag blame Lance at M Connor Radio, at Josh Beard Radio, at Carlson Radio. Yeah. So we're just basically gonna blame Lance for everything today. If there's too much Taylor Swift this weekend, hashtag blame Lance.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I think we as a city could get the hashtag blame Lance going. We could get that trending in Houston on Twitter.
I did send Lance a text during the break and said, congrats on ruining everyone's lives, Lance.
Yeah, congratulations
not
on making everything awful.
Yet. We'll see if he responds. Hey, we can also hashtag blame Lance if the Astros center field position this year is a disaster.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
It would make sense for us to blame Lance for that.
Now, we're going to start this off here. You guys alerted me to this. The show that precedes us here on Connor and Beard on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 is the Paul Gallant Show. And he is better known as Baseball Paul. He had a take, apparently, that you didn't necessarily... Did you like it? I don't know.
I'm undecided, but I want to wait to see what you have to say before I give you my response.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's good or not.
Well, let's hear what Baseball Paul's take is on the Astros center field position.
Dubon needs to be a starter, and it's weird that Jake Myers is seemingly getting the first crack at center field. And okay, Dubon's your super utility. He can play a bunch of different positions. But how about he be a super utility if injuries happen? Dubon should be playing on a regular basis after what he did last season for the majority of the regular season and what he did in the postseason. You need more Mauricio Dubon in the lineup. He earned it. Just like Chaz McCormick with his performance in 2022, earned more playing time in 2023. Dubon's done the same thing. If you earn things on the diamond, you should be able to keep that spot until someone plays better than you. And going into the next year, do we really need to have like a battle between Myers and Dubon? We know that Dubon's better. Dubon's just a better player. Myers isn't even that good of a fielder. You would think that there would be something that Myers has on Mauricio Dubon. I truly do not know what it is. Dubon's a better contact hitter. Dubon's better on the base paths. Dubon's a better fielder. What are we doing? I don't get it.
Here comes Baseball Paul. Strikes again. Bad take by Baseball Paul. He answered his own question, or he gave the reason why you don't do it at the very beginning. He's your utility man. He's going to play anywhere between 4 and 6 days a week at different positions. You have to have that guy in today's modern baseball. He can't just be locked down to one spot.
I don't fully disagree with him.
I completely. You cannot lose versus... Because if you don't have Mauricio Dubon spelling Altuve at second, Peña at short, Myers in center, really anywhere in the outfield, hell, even some first base probably. Like, who the hell's going to do it?
I agree with that.
You have no middle infielder. You going to keep Greg Kessinger and play him at shortstop this
God,
year?
God, no.
Or second base?
You have to be versatile with it. I don't think he should be the everyday starter at center field.
He's going
to
get started.
But I think he should be the primary starter at center field, if that makes sense. I think he should be the guy that goes to center field, and then he goes and fills in some of those other spots whenever you need the utility of Mauricio Dubon.
Well,
but I don't think everyday starter, but I definitely don't mind him being the primary guy over Jake Myers.
I don't even want him to be the primary guy.
Why?
We'll explain in just a moment, because here's Joe Espada yesterday on who will start in that overall competition in center field. I think there's Joe Espada talking at some point. We'll get Andrew in just a second. I would...
Oh, there's Paul. Oh,
hey, Baseball Paul, don't flip me off.
Baseball Paul.
Baseball Paul, you gave a bad take.
Hey,
Baseball
Michael.
Paul.
Hey, Michael, I heard that you didn't like my take about Mauricio Dubon.
Here he comes.
Oh, God.
Is this going to be a Paul Gallant debut on the show?
Why does this guy look like me?
That
just the right
microphone.
Only when, I don't know if
only
that
when you yell.
Works,
I've been exposed.
Probably, no, it really doesn't. So I heard you in the hallway.
Yeah.
I didn't bring this up, by the way. This was
I brought this up.
I don't see why it's a bad take, because I don't understand why.
Who's playing shortstop at second base when they need a shortstop at second base?
You could move Dubon there. I mean, the thing with
you want him to play every day though in center field. You just said.
I want Dubon to be the primary center fielder. I feel
how
like
how many games you want?
I would like Dubon to play the majority of games in center field. I don't want Jake Myers to ever play.
It's just so mean.
Why is it mean?
They've won this entire time with no center fielder. Remember when they had Jake Mariznick out there all those years? They did just fine.
Yeah,
but they can win with Jake Myers.
What did you bring up with Jake Mariznick from in like Astros Gold Glove? Like how good of a center fielder he was?
He's like second or third all time in defensive WAR.
So like
in Astros history,
offensively he wasn't great, but defensively it was just different. Jake Myers is a good defensive center fielder, but he's not so good that it's worth his offense being out there.
He has one moment like every other month where it's comically bad defensively, which is not to say he's a bad fielder, but there were a couple of moments where I watched Jake Myers collide with a wall and I shuddered.
He's a bimbo.
He's a grandma. If you see the pictures of him, he's a grandma.
Obviously, Dubon is great in a utility role, but this mindset of we're going to play Yordan a lot more in left field where you could just put Chaz McCormick there and you could have Dubon in center field for the most part. And then when you need to give one of your infielders an off day, you can move him in there. It starts with the idea that Dubon is not playing every single game.
Yeah.
That's what I don't get. I think he should play the majority of games. And it feels like we are now entering back into a world where Dubon is not necessarily about to play every single
game. I think he's at worst playing 4 days a week somewhere.
Don't you think it should be more than four?
Do you like is he last year's Dubon? Or is he the career of Dubon before this?
Well, we'll obviously find that out. I mean, that, but I think right now, I think we should operate with the mindset that just like Chaz McCormick the year before, shouldn't we maybe look at it from a perspective of let's expect him to continue to do what he did last year?
I would agree with you. I think he's going to be better like he was last year.
Because if it doesn't work out that way, okay, obviously you can fix it and move him into that super utility.
The biggest problem here, and Andrew's the same way, you guys are all scared of Yordan playing the outfield, and I think you guys need to quit being scared, all of you. He's fine.
This is why Andrew called you overly optimistic Michael. Okay, this is why you got called
He's
earlier.
26 years old.
Yeah, I want him to be wrapped in bubble wrap and taken care of like he's a little baby China doll. I want to hold Yordan Alvarez and rock him to sleep at night and let him know everything's going to be okay and he can go out there with his bat and hit bombs all day long.
He can play left field 75 times this year.
No.
And Chaz McCormick can play center those 75 games. And you're going to be fine, guys.
That's terrifying to me.
You're going to be fine. I think you guys need to quit being so scared.
He needs to stretch. That's the compromise.
Get him some bands, some stretching bands.
The TB12 method. I have a book. They've rebranded the pliability.
No, he did. Didn't he sell TB12?
Yeah, it's something else.
And
now.
Andy sold his his crappy clothing company.
Can I do something to Paul that I've never gotten to do
to
me one time? Shut up! It's Galant.
That's Paul Galant, baseball Paul. You hear him from 10 to 12. Thank you for making your first appearance on the show, Baseball Paul. Go enjoy your weekend.
He slammed the door on us just now.
Yeah, he just did, but that's okay.
Wow.
I appreciate him coming in.
I do, too. I heard him in the hallway. I knew for a fact we were either going to see an appearance from Andrew's studio or he was going to come into the studio himself, so I was expecting it.
Hey, let's hear it from Joe Spada now on that center field competition and what it's going to look like this year for the Astros.
You know what? I think they're going to play. I don't want to call it so much a competition. I do want us to get down to spring training and watch them how they look and what they're thinking and their performance. But you know, also finding Dubon will get some time there also. But like I've said in the past, Dubon is best when he fits that Swiss Army type of approach. That's his versatility is what makes him and what makes our team that much better.
Yeah, guys, embrace the versatility. Embrace the Swiss Army knife that is Mauricio Dubon.
I'm somewhere in between you and Paul. I 100% understand your point. Is you need to have that super utility guy. And the fear for me is if they did go the route that Paul and I are saying of making him the primary starter, and then you use him in some of those spots to rest other guys. Well, now all of a sudden, what is that going to do to if you want Mauricio Dubon of last year, are you going to overplay him a little bit? Like, is he going to play too much? Is he going to get used too much? When does he get a rest? And could that throw off all the other times you need him to be that utility guy?
Mauricio Dubon played 132 games last year.
So he's going to be fine.
You fine if he plays 132 games again this year?
I think so. I think so. I think that's because you want him to have rest, too. And the last thing you'd want is to use him as your super utility and your primary center fielder. I just think that there's some way you can have a balance with that. I think there is some way you can find a balance within there where maybe he's playing, maybe primary is the wrong word, but he's playing center field more often than maybe some of us thought he would with Jake Myers as the primary center fielder. But you're still getting him rest, and you're still having him come in for other guys.
By the way, I just realized this. Thanks to Paul Galant for checking in from the bathroom in Vegas at Radio Row, by the way.
Well, actually, so little known fact, Paul.
Yeah, we are at Radio Row this week, if you've not figured that out.
No, we're back in Houston.
No, we're all at Radio Row.
Paul actually took the fastest flight from Las Vegas to Houston ever.
He rode the Commodore.
Yeah.
Which has not been around for like 30 years now.
He hopped on. I had some of my Air Force connections help him out. He hopped into a jet. They just flew him back at the end of his show, all the way back here to Houston, just lickety split like that. So that's how he was able to make it.
Before our timeout, we got a couple more of those blame Lances in. Because today
I blame Lance for Paul getting mad at us and coming into the show.
Yeah, I blame Lance as well. It's going to rain all weekend. Had plans to grill and have a backyard party. Hashtag blame Lance.
Blame Lance.
That's Lance's fault.
100% Lance's fault.
So 713-780-3776. If you'd like to blame Lance, we'll see what else we can get throughout the show that you can blame him for. We'll get back to Connor and Beard. It's time for the roundup. But right now, I want to tell you about, why don't you just round yourself up into winning this weekend? And you got the big game coming up. It's only a couple of days away. But why don't you go to mybookie.ag right now and use the promo code BET975. You need to put that promo code in. And when you put your money in, you're going to get a match deposit bonus to play this weekend. Not just the NFL, of course, with the big game coming this weekend. They've got basketball. They've got soccer. They've got hockey. They've got golf. They've got tennis. They've got it all at mybookie.ag. But the big game presents big opportunities and no better place to take it in than with mybookie.ag. Again, that promo code is BET975 right now for that match deposit bonus. Maybe you've been there for a little while. Well, go put some more money back in that account right now and get in on the action this weekend at mybookie.ag. Be like me, be like so many others, and have a lot of fun when watching that big game this Sunday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Howdy, partners. It's time for the roundup on Connor and Beard, where them fellas break down the latest news in the NFL. Yeehaw! Kind of my right of man.
It's time for the roundup on Connor and Beard, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We had another addition for the Blame Lance. We got one in on the comments that said, I blame Lance for my dry-ass brisket.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hashtag blame Lance.
You know what I got this weekend?
What'd you get?
I actually got somebody, I can't remember if they just tweeted at me or if they DM'd me, but somebody tweeted me on Twitter, sent me a recipe for a chocolate glazed steak, and it was simultaneously the funniest and also most hurtful thing anybody's, that is 100% a troll, and it is the funniest and most hurtful troll anybody's ever had on me.
If you've not heard that, if you're new to the show here, Josh slathers up his brisket chocolate sauce.
I do not at all.
He cooks his brisket, chocolate brisket for Josh.
I have a proprietary homemade blend that I use as a
Hershey's
rub for my
chocolate
brisket, and it does not have chocolate shavings or Hershey's chocolate or anything like that.
He goes to the store, buys a bunch of Hershey's bars, melts them in the microwave, and just layers that brisket and then puts it on the smoker.
Could you imagine like burnt ends? Like brisket burnt ends in chocolate glaze?
We've got to come talk about brisket because I'm actually like starving.
I am too. I am very hungry.
If somebody would like to bring us brisket, we are open to your brisket.
And it doesn't have to be chocolate glazed.
No, I'd prefer it to be regular with a good sauce.
Chocolate sauce.
We're available to eat your brisket.
Ugh.
Let's get to that roundup now. Guys, it's official. We mentioned this recently when the rumors were coming up. But Bill O'Brien will not be taking over as the offensive coordinator of the Ohio State Buckeyes. The butt chin himself is staying in Boston. And he is going to coach the Boston College, what are they called? They're the Golden Eagles or something?
Man, we probably should know this.
Boston, I think Michael's right with the Golden Eagles.
Boston
Golden
College, Eagles, who cares?
Yes.
Nice.
I guess.
I knew it was a bird. I just didn't remember what bird.
Will Bill O'Brien turn around the Boston College football program?
Oh, probably. This is the perfect job
for
Bill O'Brien.
Turn them around to 8 wins a year.
Yeah, by turn them around, and like they'll have some success. He'll get some recruits. They'll be like a just slightly above middling college program, and he'll just stay there forever and then retire and be fine. Like that should be the trajectory for Bill O'Brien. Oh, you know what?
Last time that they won double digit games was 2007.
Oh yeah, he'll definitely help them win at least like a couple of double digit win seasons.
You really think he'll win that many? I don't think so.
I think he could pull off.
How are you
years.
Getting anybody to play there? Number two, he's a bleep hole.
Yeah.
Number three, do you really think he has time and patience to deal with NIL and all that crap?
I think no.
I think he'll be a disaster.
But I think some. I think one of the things that he'll bring to the table is having coached in the NFL and having NFL connections. I think that'll help him be able to recruit. It's not like he's going to have massive recruits or really be able to turn it around, but he'll get some nice recruits that Boston College wouldn't have gotten without him. Real fast, on the blame Lance train, I blame Lance for Bill O'Brien in Houston.
Yeah.
The entire Bill O'Brien era in Houston, including Jack Easterby, hashtag blame Lance.
Yeah, Lance was the one that was out there pushing for all that. I can remember Lance tweeting all the time.
Yeah.
The Texans really need to bring in Jack Easterby. They need to steal Jack Easterby from the New England Patriots. Yeah.
You've told me that before. You told me that he was secretly pushing for Jack Easterby before Jack even came here.
Yeah, he and Jack used to hang out on weekends.
They played disc golf together
all the time. Hashtag blame Lance. I think Bill O'Brien's going to be a disaster at Boston College. I don't think that there's any other option here. You know what? He can do that there. He can do that,
yeah,
and that's acceptable.
Man, Boston. This is why I hate you pushing the chocolate brisket thing, because now in the chat somebody said that I actually do use a dry rub Nesquik. Come on, man.
I mean, it's true though.
No,
you've showed me the recipe.
I did not.
You taught me the secrets.
What's next on the roundup?
Josh Beard confirms he eats a chocolate brisket. No, I'm kidding. Woody Johnson, the owner of the New York Jets. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Did you guys watch Hard Knocks, first of all, at all?
A little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay, so I actually watched all of Hard Knocks this year. I actually enjoyed it for the first time in a while. I thought it was actually pretty well done. It's not that I was, like, interested in that team or anything, but it had been a while since I watched a full Hard Knocks. Probably since the Texans had been on it.
Yeah.
And I decided this year I was going to watch it, and I liked it. Jets owner Woody Johnson, we've got to produce this year, is what he said last night speaking at the NFL Awards, which I don't know why the hell he'd be there. He said, the discussion I've had in the last couple of months, they've seen me about as mad as I can be with what's going on with the offense, particularly, Johnson said, according to the reports. He said, we have all this talent, and we have to deploy talent properly. So I think they all got the message. This is it. This is the time to go. We've got to produce this year. He added, we have to do a lot better than 7 wins, definitely. So he's putting the heat on Robert Saleh. He also took a nice little pot shot there at Zach Wilson. He says, you need a backup quarterback. We didn't have one last year. Is Woody Johnson secretly one of the worst owners in all of sports? And will the Jets ever not be a mess?
Yes, I think so. I don't know. I'd be frustrated if I were him, though. Wouldn't you?
Sure, but like, isn't it a stupid frustration from the standpoint of your quarterback went out and popped his Achilles tendon like 3 minutes into the game?
I mean,
and did you really think you were ever going to win anything after that happened? You shouldn't have thought that. You had Zach Wilson playing quarterback.
But how many years of poor results has this been for Robert Saleh now? And how many, more importantly,
I mean, there's
how many
no
years
denying
of results
he
this
is
for
he is
Zach
on the
Wilson?
Hot seat. Like, I think that this guy's gone after this year.
You know what makes it more difficult? What makes it more difficult to separate, and this is definitely unfair because the weapons aren't completely the same, the talent's not completely the same. But if Kevin Stefanski can continue to win it with somebody like Joe Flacco, then why can't Robert Saleh get his team to win it with somebody else?
We overhyped the Jets' maybe overall team last year.
Yeah.
Defensively, they weren't as great as people thought that they were going to be. Last time that they made the playoffs was 2010. They've had one.
That's wild.
They've had one winning season since that 2010 season. That was in 2015. They won 10 games and did not make the playoffs. Do you know who their quarterback was that year?
The last time they made the playoffs?
No, they didn't make the playoffs that year. They went 10-6.
Oh, Mark Sanchez?
Nope.
Brett Favre?
Nope. 2015. Former Texans legend, quarterbacking the Jets. Come on, man.
I don't know why I'm blaming
Fitzmagic.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about
it. They won 10
him.
Games at Fitzmagic.
Yeah,
didn't make
wild.
The playoffs. Todd Bowles is the head coach then.
Their offense was like abjectly terrible. Their defense really wasn't that bad. Their defense wasn't great. It wasn't as good as we thought it was supposed to be, but their defense was better than the Browns. But their offense was horrible. It was horrid.
I mean, you don't want to ever write off Aaron Rodgers completely because he's got one of the best arms in the history of the sport, but like, I don't see how they finish better than third next year in that division.
Yeah, there's no chance. I think we overestimated their offensive talent. Like, Breece Hall is incredible. Garrett Wilson is incredible. But outside of that, what do they have?
Man, not a lot.
It's nothing. Like, Tyler Conklin's kind of okay.
They got Alan Lazard for a huge deal.
Oh, my God. That's the problem.
They let Aaron Rodgers come in and make all the personnel decisions. Yes. Stupid.
And they traded Elijah Moore away before or after Aaron Rodgers?
I
think it was after.
Yeah.
I think they traded away, and then they brought all those guys that Aaron Rodgers wanted in. I think we just overestimated how good their offense was going to be honest. And I don't know how much better it would have been better with Aaron Rodgers. Who knows how much better?
I hope they continue to suck. I don't know why. It's a New York team. I don't like New York teams, so they can all just go to hell.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's talk now about the 2025 NFL season. Screw 2024. Well, you know what? In 2024, they're going to play a bunch of international games, including a game in Brazil at the start of the season on Friday. The Eagles, we know that's going to play in that game. We don't know who the opponent's going to be to that point. But the NFL today announced officially that in 2025, the league will expand the international games even more. They will play in Madrid in 2025. It'll be at the stadium. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's where Real Madrid plays. You guys want to go to Madrid for a NFL game?
I'll go. Yeah, I've never been to Madrid. I've always wanted to go to Spain. I would love that.
Do you really think it's going to be a hit, NFL football in Madrid?
I think so. I think there will be a. They'll find some way to market it to bring a lot of people there.
Every single international game's going to be full.
It's the
NFL going somewhere. Everybody knows about it. It's a novelty for those people over there. They're going to go.
Think about how, like, whenever some of the soccer team, like Premier League teams or whatever, have come over here. Yeah. And even people who don't really love soccer or don't really watch are like, hey, I want to go check that out. That's awesome.
Yeah, I went to a Man City game. I don't root for Man City, but I went and saw Man City when they were here.
My boys.
Two summers ago?
My boys in blue. Love it.
They played Club America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At NRG.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I had pre-game sideline passes.
I was too.
No, you weren't.
I was
on the sideline, Josh, and guess where you were?
I wasn't on the sideline, but I was up in the stands. I was absolutely
there.
No,
you weren't.
Yes, I was.
You're the biggest lie. Who scored the first goal of the game?
I don't remember. I can't even remember numbers for
Josh,
players
I remember
all
it.
Teams. Yes, you have a much better memory than I do.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and take a stab at it?
I don't remember who scored. I can't even venture a guess. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew. Big Man City guy over here, Josh Beard. So there's your roundup across the NFL, what is going on. If the Texans want to go play in Madrid in 2025, we're taking the show on the road. I don't care what it costs.
We'll go look at it.
I'm figuring it out.
And I'll wear my Sergio Aguero kit that I had on whenever I was at the Man City game at NRG.
Why would you do that? Man City doesn't play that good.
Just because I want to.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I absolutely know what I'm talking about.
You're just a liar.
No, I am not at all.
The biggest liar on this show. Hey, guys, guess what? It's Super Friday, and it's time to talk about who's going to win this weekend. We'll do that when we return to Connor and Beard, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.